I'm going to be reading the scripture throughout the short meditation here. I'm going to incorporate it. And then, as Sophia rightly said, we're going to have a time to witness together and to share together the God moments in our lives. I just wanted to begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, I just thank you that you are present here this morning. I thank you that you are a living God that speaks through this living word. And thank you, God, this morning that we have an opportunity to recognize the places where you have been in our lives, where you are showing up, that we can witness to you, Jesus. So we just pray for your Spirit to be with us in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, yesterday I had a pretty cool experience. Right here at Whitmer Heights Mennonite, they had opening day for the Conestoga Valley Little League. And literally, the parking lot was packed. Emily and I were trying to find a place to park. We couldn't find a place. We had to like kind of get in a little grassy section, which wasn't even our parking lot. And just children everywhere. My understanding is that it actually used to be even a lot bigger. But it's still quite large. And they invited me, Dan Andrews, who's the board of the Conestoga Valley Little League, invited me to come and give the opening day prayer for the Little League baseball. And it was a really cool opportunity to welcome them and just say, I am thrilled as pastor of Whitmer Heights that we can use this space in the back of our church for our community. And to enjoy the wonderful game of baseball. And it's so much more than the game of baseball. It's about children playing together and families connecting and learning what it means to have fun and to be able to compete. And that we can use our space right here at our church to do that. But then it was pretty cool too to be able to give a prayer. Because I could thank God for this beautiful day. I could thank God for the children and the families that were there. I could pray for safety for them throughout the coming year. I could pray that there would be good relationships and that people would just feel blessed. That was a small opportunity that I was given by Dan Andrews. He didn't have to invite me to open the year off with a prayer. A small opportunity to witness that God was a part of what is happening right here in the back of our church with the Conestoga Valley Little League Baseball Program, which it's been happening for 15, 20 years, I think. It's pretty awesome. Well, that's one small example from today, and I want to read the scripture now from Acts, where we see another place where the early followers of Jesus have an opportunity to witness to what God is doing, as Sophia has so well led us in already. So I am going to read this scripture from the book of Acts, chapter 3, 12 to 19. When Peter saw it, he addressed the people. You Israelites, why do you wonder at this? He's referring to the healing. Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer given to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. That's the climax right there, friends. To this we are witnesses. And by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out. As I read this, and I get to verse 12, it says, Peter saw it, and he addressed the people, and then he goes into his witnessing. I just have to wonder what was going on in Peter's mind. Was he a little bit worried about the response when he witnesses to the power of Jesus? Did he have a moment when he thought, well, I could maybe just say it was a great miracle and it was on my own power and this is great. And then I'll just make everybody happy and we can just celebrate the healing. Did he think about the consequences? I am sure he did. I am sure he did. Peter is a human being. Of course he's thinking about the reactions that are going to be coming. And he doesn't let that fear hold him back of what the response may be. And Peter is bold. He is bold to witness to the power of God through Jesus Christ. Last week and this week, I have appreciated the commentary from Greg Carey, who is the professor of New Testament at Lancaster Theological Seminary. And he, in his commentaries, the last 2 weeks we've been looking at the book of Acts, he has helped to ask this question, what does an Easter church look like? And last week we saw some examples of an Easter church that has learned how to share its possessions, has learned how to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. This week we see that an Easter church looks like a church that learns how to witness together. An Easter church witnesses together. Acts argues that the very ministry of an Easter church witnesses to the power of Jesus. There's healing, there's proclamation, and there's witness. Peter is absolutely clear, even though he knows the consequences that will probably come, that the source of the healing power is not his own. His healing command in Acts 3:6, right before this, is, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. And here in this speech that I just read, Peter is emphatic. By faith in his name itself has made this man strong. The faith that comes through Jesus has given health to this man. And Peter's insistence upon Jesus will get him and John into trouble. See, the authorities don't like this, and they end up arresting Peter and John. And if you keep reading on, you're going to see that. You'll see how the story plays out. Peter and John are arrested. The authorities themselves insist upon the question of authority, and they say, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" They demand in Acts 4:7. And Peter's response returns again to the same theme that we see here. With authority and boldness, Peter's response says, "There is no salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." Again, an Easter church that witnesses. The authorities then determine that they cannot suppress the healing work performed by Peter and John, not to mention witnessed by a large crowd, and they send Peter and John away with one condition. We'll send you away with one condition. You must not speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. That's in Acts 4:18. So what do Peter and John do? They hardly give the authorities any assurance. And indeed, the authorities will arrest the apostles still another time, reminding them that they're not allowed to do that. Good luck. Peter and the others remain steadfast, enduring a beating and once again being admonished not to speak in Jesus' name. And yet, in the midst of this witnessing and this persecution, we read that they actually have a joyful spirit as they witness to the power of Jesus. Apparently, it is impossible to suppress the power of Jesus' name. That's what we see in this Easter church. Healing, proclaiming, witnessing, and persevering. And here we are over 2,000 years later, the Church of Jesus, the body of Christ, and we're still witnessing. We are still witnessing, following in the footsteps of these early disciples and Jesus himself, who always witnessed back to his Father God. Here we are still figuring out together how to follow Jesus and how to give witness and thankfulness back to God and recognizing the God moments. Witnessing is simply saying, hey, there's something bigger than just myself going on here. I'm a part of a bigger story. The author of life, Jesus, God the Father, the Holy Spirit. I'm a part of that story, and I am going to witness back to that story. There's something bigger happening here than just me. I wanted to give an opportunity this morning for the congregation to witness together. And I'm going to start off by sharing a witness testimony that Don Rank asked me to pass along. As we know, the Rank Farm suffered a devastating fire this past week. And there's so many different emotions to hold there. Just the incredible loss. And it's the loss for a family that has endured so much loss in other ways already. They didn't need another loss like this. And you hold the pain of that loss and the grief that will be ongoing, because it's also the loss of a family history of 100 years that barn represented and all of the gatherings. And so you hold the loss and the grief, as I've talked to Don and Patrick and Elisa. And then you hold that alongside being there the next day. I was there on Friday morning. And seeing the community respond was an absolute witness to God and the way that God's people come together when people are hurting. And seeing the Amish community and other neighbors, not all Amish, coming together and helping to build and clean up and repair. And some of you, I know, are a part of that. And so Don asked me to read this. He said, I would have liked to share this myself, but he's in Shanksville. So I'm going to read it for him. He says, good morning. I'm in Shanksville with Sandy, catching my breath. We'll attend Calvary Church in Souderton. I want to give thanks to everyone who has helped, especially Sandy's son, Kevin, who with his brother, Keith, wired our veranda for 5 freezers and refrigerators. Neighbors lost their freezers in the fire, one of which was loaded with 6 deer cut and wrapped. Please say thank you to the congregation for the fabulous support. I'm so grateful. We witnessed together in the grief and in the joy of the community coming together, and we hold the whole Rank family this morning as their journey will continue. I want to give an opportunity for you, Whitmer Heights, to share, where have you witnessed God in your life? We're not in the context here of Peter and John, who, if they witness to God, are facing persecution. We cannot take for granted that we have a place here where we can witness to God and not fear for our lives. So I don't know if there's an opportunity. Come forward. I think it's cool if you can come to the front so everyone can see you. And if anybody has something to share, I would just give that opportunity now. And let us witness together to God.
I had the opportunity a lot the last year to affirm seeing God work in my life. The gift of healing. I was just reflecting this morning, tomorrow morning it will be a year ago, that after 3.5 months, I went back to work 20 hours a week to get started on my journey of recuperation into full usefulness of my life. I worked 20 hours a week for 4 weeks and then went back full time after that. Reminiscing a little bit, the last week I worked 55 hours. So I think God's definitely been at work. I saw God working through that.
Can we just respond together by saying, we witness together. We witness together.
One way it felt to me that I saw God at work was, so several of you have so graciously given of your time to transport Manal Iskander to English classes. And I, one, transportation is a blessing. And two, you know, even though they've been here for the Babawi family has been here from Egypt for 2.5 years, it's very difficult. Language is very difficult, acclimating to the American way. So transportation provides a physical need, but the relationship is so powerful for them. And the other week, I was not aware that the language classes were on spring break. And so Marvin and Lois had graciously signed up to take and return home Manal to class. And, you know, we're not as frequently involved in their lives anymore as they have gained independence. But I had, through several things, contacts, become aware that they were struggling a little bit. And so, as scheduled, Marvin and Lois picked up Manal, took her to class, and I thought, you know, then I find out that class was not in session, but I'm like, thank you, God, for this opportunity for Marvin and Lois to be able to spend at least a half an hour, if not more, pouring into the life of Manal, because I believe truly that it was a time that she really needed it. And so, one, I thank the congregation, because I see God at work, your work in their lives. And I think God also provides moments when we, unexpected blessings, when people can pour a relationship into our lives. So I'm grateful for that.
We witness together.
I'm in Wirt, and I would be remiss if I didn't seize this opportunity to proclaim what God has done in our lives. As many of you, probably most of you know, in case you don't, 4.5 years ago, my husband was diagnosed with stage 4 esophageal cancer with possibly 3-4 months to live. Dark days during that time, but long story short, today he is almost cancer-free, active cancer-free. He'll never be totally cancer-free, but God has intervened in a tremendous way. I can't get done thanking God for what he has done. And there's one small remaining node left on his liver, which he will have surgery for in about a month. And so, you know, God has not only prolonged his life, he's given him relatively good health. And we're so grateful.
We witness together.
I wanted to take the time to enjoy, hopefully not getting emotional, shared that this week we had two moments that I thought were really, we witnessed God, and our family's going through some difficult days, and we had an opportunity this morning, one morning that Shannon was texting somebody and we were talking through, and we had this moment with this word, presence, or she misunderstood what I meant by presence, and I actually meant like the presence of that person. She thought I meant the gifts that were given, and it was like, if we probably had this video, to be a very funny moment, because I was like, no, I mean presence. You know, I'm like trying to, and it was the first thing in the morning, and then that, I don't remember if it was right after. I just remember that I went to a devotional that had these words, and I felt like it was God's way of speaking this to me and to our family particularly. But it said, entering into prayer today, I begin by recognizing that I am in the presence of God, not a God to be scared of, but a God of compassion and love, in whose presence I am safe, in whose presence I do not have to defend myself, and in whose presence I can be still. I place myself, my worries, my hopes, my whole life in the hands of my God. And that really centered me for that day, and being able to just get through one more day. And then the second thing that happened is, I feel like even the presence, we talked about that with the with creating these tabernacles, and just a recognition that God is present with us even through some difficult situations. Even if our church that we came out of had a place at the altar where there were lots of rocks, and if you were going through something and wanted to place something at the altar, you had a marker, you could write it on the rock and leave it. It was just a pile of rocks with a lot of different things on it. Or if you had gone through something you wanted to celebrate, like the Ebenezer, it was an opportunity to do the same thing there. And yesterday, Shannon's sister came for a visit to kind of support us through some things, and she is not a believer, and we feel like we're partly here for the reconciliation of our family relationally, but also with their relationship to God. That's part of why we moved here. And she brought with her yesterday two rocks. There's a garden near her house in Baltimore, and it's a garden that I guess, I don't know if it's at a church, I don't remember the background behind it, but one rock was painted and it said, "The Lord is my rock." And then the other one, mentioned, it was a reference to just being encouraged, and to have courage. And when we got those, it really meant a lot to us, because it is what we're having to really lean on right now, is God as our rock, and that He used our sister-in-law to bring that to us, and she's not even a believer. And it was, and I think it did something in all of us to receive that, to me, that was just the greatest witness that God can use all different situations and people in our lives to remind us He's here and of who He is, and for us to find joy amidst the pain.
What we witness together.
Listeners on here. Lately, I've been reading here and there, just various places, about the effect of being connected all the time has on us. And this is going to sound judgmental in light of various people reading from their phones here. That's not what I mean at all. What I mean is, I felt like I need to limit my time on the internet and so on for good reasons. And so Janet is in Goshen. She's traveling back from Goshen right now with her friend. They were there to support a friend who's dying of cancer. Anyway, while Janet was gone, I decided I'd like to really sort of isolate myself from the internet. So I did. I thought this was going to be pretty tough, but it really wasn't. I decided no internet, no TV, and I'll just be careful about other kinds of things that I do. So I'm sort of centering on God and being with Him at home, wherever I am. And it's been a really good time, so I would encourage others to do it. My son and daughter-in-law and their daughter, Lowry, challenged me a bit on this, even though she's on the phone all the time and all that. But at least when they come to their house, when her friends come to their house, the phones go in a basket, and then the kids can go play or go up to the room and do whatever they want, but the phones are here. So I'm challenged by that I think there's times when we need to pull back from connectedness and be alone with God.
We witness together.
I've been thinking a lot about God's love for me over the past couple of months. And when I hear those words over and over, it can kind of lose its meaning, at least for me. Oftentimes, so many negative thoughts seem to stand in the way of me actually receiving those words that God loves me and He is delighted in me. It's easier for me to hear the lies about myself than it is to hear about God's truth, that I have so much to bring to this world and around us. Henry Nouwen is one of my favorite authors, and he says it so well. He says, "Self-rejection is the greatest enemy of the spiritual life because it contradicts the sacred voice that calls us the beloved. Being the beloved expresses the core truth of our existence." And I just love that. I love that invitation to truly claim that we are God's beloved. So yeah, like I said, just over the past months, this has just been something that's been brewing and stirring in me, as I think God is inviting me to practice having a heart that I can receive that truth, that I am God's beloved daughter. So I wanted to share that journey with you. It's definitely a slow journey, probably one that and I'm sure many of you will continue the rest of our lives. But I know God's love is becoming definitely more real to me. And as we sang that song, an Ebenezer Stone, it definitely feels like an Ebenezer Stone moment in my life. So.
We witness together.
I had the opportunity yesterday to be at the Rank Farm, and I got to push this magnet thing that I know Lois Weaver got to push the day before that pulls up a lot of the nails and just sharp objects, all kinds of metal things from anywhere on their cement pads around the farm. It's very important because there's a lot of vehicles that are going through there that the tires can be, flat in no time. Actually, they have had some flat tires, unfortunately, so... wasn't collecting a lot yesterday, but for 2 hours as I was behind this magnetic thing that you pull or push through the ashes, I felt like God gave me a song of hope for the ranks and maybe for the others of you that are dealing with heaviness at this time. I don't know where this is found in the Bible. It is a song, but Randy assured me that it's also verses in the Bible. He gave me beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that we may be trees of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. So it's a wonderful vision, I think, of what God can do in our times of sorrow, our times of pain, our times of loss. And that's going to be my prayer for the things that have happened this week and the heaviness that is in people's lives as well. So...
I'm Cindy Whitmer. Shelby, I remember that song. I think it might have been on an album from a group called Scripture and Song, or the name of the album, I think, was Scripture and Song back, I think, in the 70s. The fact that I'm standing here at all is a witness to God's action in my life. And I was reminded this morning of an old song that Amy Grant used to sing, I think, called Angels Watching Over Me. Sometimes it's like these near misses. A near miss? No. I don't. Things that almost happen. Anyway, what I'm getting around to is I've had a few incidents driving in the last week or two that have been reminders that, but for the grace of God, you know, in that split second, I could maybe not be here. Maybe 2 weeks ago, I don't remember exactly, but not long ago, I was driving home from work in the evening, and right about the time a vehicle passed me, something came flying right at my windshield, and if you see my car, there's a whole big spiral shattering of the windshield, but it didn't go all the way through, and it's like right about here, and I thought, if that projectile had been a bullet or even at a higher velocity, I would probably be dead. It probably would have hit me right in the forehead, but it didn't and shook me up, but I was very grateful to God for that. And then this week,
I had to get blood screening for work early in the morning. And before 6 o'clock in the morning, I was trying to not be late for that appointment. So I know that I was going a little too fast, but I came up over a hill, and as I came down the hill, right in front of me was, it happens that I think it was a dead deer. It was a very large piece of roadkill. If it wasn't a deer, it was some other very large animal. And all I know is, like, there was just no way I could stop in time. I hit the brakes, I was all over the road because, I didn't want to hit it, so I turned to swerve and almost lost control. And I just thank God that there was no other traffic. But also, as I was making my weaving and trying to make smaller and smaller corrections, at one point I was headed straight for the telephone pole, and I thought, there's no way I'm going to miss this telephone pole, but I'm going to try, and I steered into the grass. At one point, I ended up doing a 180 and knew the inevitable crash was going to come. And when my car stopped, I was like inches. My back end was inches from the telephone pole. And nothing was coming. And it looks like I've been four-wheeling. But, I was able to get back on the car and get to my appointment on time. And, it's just a reminder that we exist because of God.
We witness together.
Yeah, I'm going to stand from here, but I'm John Landis. But Randy, you blessed my heart this morning when you said that you had the opening prayer for the Little League. Over the years, I've been, just wondering how the church could connect with Little League a little more than what we have. But we have tried things in the past too, but it just renewed my spirit of joy to hear you had a part in it. And I used to think, could we, as a church, be some spectators to what's going on back there and get to know the people back there a little closer? We've got youth coming up now. We like to play ball. Now, I wasn't interested enough in ball to go out there and watch them. Maybe I did a few times, but to really sit down and get to know the people and leave them know that this is not a school. It's a church. It's what we really are. But it renewed my spirit of, I think at one time we actually, didn't we support a team or something one time? I think we did. Some of this stuff is going by the wayside, but to hear your connection with it again this morning, just I pray that things could happen there. Yeah.
Amen. We witness together. I'm going to end with lyrics from the song Testify to Love from Avalon.
For as long as I shall live, and I'm going to say we, for as long as we shall live, we will testify to the love. We'll be a witness in the silence when words are not enough. With every breath we take, we will give thanks to God above. For as long as we shall live, we will testify to love. We witness together. Amen.